was at the funeral today. I just want to say that Brother Steve done really, really well. Preached the gospel at his granny's graveside, and I'll tell you, as a pastor of a church, it was a proud moment to see that boy doing that, because he was I know how hard it is, but it was a good thing that boy did. He spoke well of his granny and his salvation, and he was over in front of all of his family to preach, telling people the way. Thank the Lord for that. We'll pray for that family. Pray for Steve. Let's just have a time of prayer. Heavenly Father, I do thank you, Lord. I thank you for the privilege, my Lord, of bringing your word, my God, to your church this night. My Lord, I thank you, Lord God, for all the work that you're doing amongst us, my Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. I am grateful, Lord God, for the works that you're doing. My Lord, that you show your very presence in this place, and I am grateful, Lord. My Lord, the growth that we've seen in our brothers and sisters, my Lord, and I am grateful for that, Lord. And I pray, my God, that you continue us to walk on in you, my Lord, in the ways of your righteousness, Lord God. And Lord God, that we would want to live for you always, my Lord. I pray for Steve and Nancy, my Lord, and the full family, Lord. I do pray, my Lord, you'd help at this time of grieving, my Lord. I do ask this in Jesus' name. Bless us, I pray, I ask. Thank you, Lord. Going to continue tonight where we're at. We're going through the book of Samuel, and we're in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. We'll read from there. And it's a very important lesson, what we're going to read tonight. So those who've got your Bibles, 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. It says, "Now the sons of Eli were very corrupt, and they did not know the Lord." Let me just turn this off. "And they did not know the Lord. And the priests and the priest customs. The people was that when any man offered a sacrifice, the priest servants would come with a three-pronged hook in their hand while the meat was boiling. Then they would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or the cauldron or the pot, and the priest would take it for himself, all that the flesh hook brought up. So they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants would come and say to the man who sacrificed, 'Give me meat for roasting,' to the priest, and for he will not take the boiled meat from you, but raw. And if the man said to him, they should really burn the fat first, then you may take as much as your heart desires. He would then answer him, 'No, but you must give it now, and if not, I will take it by force. Therefore, the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord.'" Now, when I first read this and said, right, this is the chapter or a bit of scripture that I've got, I thought, I'll have to look into this, because this sounds very, very confusing. I don't know what's going on here. It says, first of all, the sons of Eli. Now, Eli was the high priest. They never had their temple at this time. They still had the tabernacle. The tabernacle was the tent that Moses had went through the wilderness. And it was at a place called Shiloh, which, for those who have been to Israel, you might have had the opportunity to go to that place. So they worshipped the Lord there. And Eli was the high priest. He was the one that for once a year was allowed to go into the Holy of Holies, if you like, or into the tabernacle. He was the one that went in and done all the sacrifice. He done those parts. And he had two sons. And his two sons was the Bible says, it starts off here. Now the sons of Eli was corrupt. They did not know the Lord and the priest's customs. They did not even know the Lord. They didn't know him. So these men, now the line of the priest went from father to son. This is at this time, this is how they was going to do it. It's because God blessed that line. He said, look, you shall be the generations that shall come from you. You'll be the priestly generations. And God put in the plan how the priest would get provided for. Now, they wasn't allowed to have land. They wasn't allowed to work. But they had to be provided for. It's not ungodly for Christians to provide for the pastors. It's not. It's biblical. We just don't do it in our mission because we don't want anybody to say that we're in it for the money or we're doing it for the money. We want to be able to provide for ourselves, like Paul when he preached the gospel. He made tents, he provided his own pocket and went out. But it's not ungodly to provide for the ministry, if you like, the pastorship. It's not ungodly. If that's somebody's job, then the Bible says, it talks about don't muzzle the ox, and it's talking about that. Feed him, let him do so that he can study the word of God and teach us. That's how that was done. So it's kind of, this is how the high priest, this priest and his sons, his family, they wasn't to go and have land and have sheep and do all that. They had a custom, and the custom was when you went to Shiloh, you went to the place, you was going to give your sacrifice, you was going to go before the Lord. And whilst you was eating your own food, or you was eating, you was going to, or you would boil it in this pot, or this cauldron. List these four things here. And they would put like a big fork into a boiling pot of meat, or to a boiling pot. And in that fork, whatever that fork brought up, that's what their portion was. That's what God had designed them to have. And there could have been 20 people there. They could have gone round to each one's pot. He sound like travellers to me, I've got to tell the truth. They would taste of what he's got. But they would stick the fork in and pull it out. Now, if meat's boiling and you put a fork into it and pull it out, you only end up with a small portion of that. You don't end up, it breaks apart, doesn't it? Meat breaks apart when it's being boiled. But here they have, these men would be so greedy that they would say, no, give it to us raw. So if you stuck a fork into a raw animal or something that wasn't cooked, you could probably take the lot. You've got a bit of meat, you put a fork in it, you pick it up, you can take the lot, can't you? Well, later on you'll find that Eli, somebody like myself, he was a fat man. Him and his family, they was fat. They ate a lot. They was abusing the position that they was in. They was abusing it. Their people would come there and they would bring them and bring their food, or they would do that. And these would say, no, we don't want it cooked, we want it raw. Give it to us now. And there's two pastors these men have got. If you don't give it to us, we'll take it by force. You know what they were saying? We're going to take it, or you're going to get a smack in the mouth. All right. Come on, these are the people they're supposed to be showing the way of the Lord. And you know, today, we see in the world today that we have people that call themselves pastors that are still doing this. They have people that's on the telly or on the radio. You know, I watched an interview with this so-called pastor. And a wolf, I'd like to call him, but so-called pastor. And he said to him, you drive around in a Bentley. He went, what do you think I should drive around in a Honda? It was like, he couldn't even get it into his own mind. It was like, he was telling them. They had the pastor's aeroplane is 6-year-old and he wants it a little bit bigger, so we're going to have a crusade and we're going to earn more money to get a different aeroplane. And I'm like, you see the people that are not got a great deal, but they're giving to the pastors, so the pastors can be rich and famous and they can say that they're going to that church. They're not pointing to God, they're not doing anything godly, they're just filling their own pockets. That was never, ever the design. It was never what God intended. God wanted the priest, and he said, God would say to him, I will provide for you because I'm enough for you. That's what God wanted. That's what God wanted with Eli and his sons. He wanted them to love the Lord, that God would be enough. And whatever they stuck their fork in, pulled out and said, listen, I know that this is what the Lord has got for me, and I'm happy with that. Sometimes people get greedy and not happy with the portion of what they're getting. Do you know, I want to tell you something, right? For everybody here, I want you to remember this. If you've got a bed to lay in and somewhere warm and dry to sleep tonight, warm and dry and a bed to lay in, you've got shoes on your feet, or you can get shoes and put on your feet, which are your own, and you can get £100 from somewhere that is yours. So if you can go to the bank and draw £100 out, you're in the world's top 10 richest. Think about that. You're in the world's top 10. So 90% of this world lives below that line. And you know, the reason why I say that is because sometimes we live out, we want, like, Lord, I want all that you've got for me. And sometimes we're not satisfied with that. And then we turn our eyes off the things of the Lord and put them back to the things of the world. And there has to be a change. There has to be something in our life that says, Lord, let me have what you want for me. You know, don't let me have too much, Lord, that I become complacent and never want you. Don't let me have too little, Lord, that I'm forced to steal something. But Lord, give me my daily needs. That's what we're told to pray for, aren't we? Well, surely we're told to pray for our daily needs. That's what it is. These men, God's provision wasn't enough for them. It wasn't enough for them. And it says at the end of it, it said, for they sinned, and the sin of these young men was very great. Well, what was they doing? They was only taking a bit of food. They was only doing something. For the sake, for these sin of these men, these young men, was very great before the Lord. For men abhorred, that means they hated the offering of the Lord. Do you know what it was? They hated what when they had to go and serve the Lord. They hated because they knew that these godly men, in their eyes, these are godly men, they was getting fleeced, they was getting they couldn't sit down and have a meal because these greedy pigs, they're going to come and take the lot. That's what was going to happen. And they despised it. They didn't want to go there. They didn't want to go and serve the Lord because they knew what was coming. They didn't want to go into the presence there. They didn't want to do what was right because they knew that there was something else going on. And these men forced the people of God to hate what God had put into place. Do you know the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says that yous are a holy priesthood, a royal nation, a people belonging to the Lord. Us here. God calls us a royal priesthood. Do you know what that means? We're the ones that represent Christ, or represent God to this fallen world. We're that. And sometimes we need to take that a lot more serious than what we do. A lot more serious. Do you know, the Bible says, in your anger, do not sin. So you can be angry, just don't sin. Who here can do that? That's a very difficult thing to do. Because in your anger, you'll come out with four-letter language, wouldn't you? You'll swear. In your anger, you might punch a windscreen out. In your anger, you might punch a cupboard. In your anger, you might smash something up. Is that true? Of course it is. I said, we think that's, it's not right. We represent God on this earth. We represent the way that we act, the way that we walk, the way that we talk, the things that we do. We represent God to this world. And don't let it be us that people don't want God because of us. That can't happen, can it? Think about that for a second. People don't want to be a Christian because they know that you are. I don't want to be like that. We know bad testimonies, don't we? We know, and listen, we've probably been the bad testimonies at different times in our lives. And that doesn't give us the excuse to say, oh, well, that's just me. Lord loves me. He takes me the way I am. Yeah, it does. And it tries to change you. And if you don't bend, the saint's going to break, isn't it? But the facts of the matter, these men were supposed to be godly men. They're supposed to show God to a fallen world. They're supposed to show God's people the right way to go. And we are tasked with that same job. You and Ian, the children of God. He calls us a royal priesthood. He tells us in his word the way that we ought to live. No longer to the passions or the lusts of this world, but we live according to Christ and what he wants from us. Now, I'm not trying to say that we have to be... I'm not saying you have to be so super spiritual, so super holy, that you're walking around with a Bible 24/7 and you only eat grain or whatever it is that you think that makes you more holy than anybody else. I'm not saying that. But what I am saying is the answers that we need to give to this fallen world is in Christ.
Amen.
The answers that we've got for this fallen world is in Christ. Can you not see how this world's getting worse? How much worse it's getting? How much the world is accepting everything that goes along. Do you know that they're just deluded people, deluded by the enemy? And they need saving just as much as anybody else. They do, they need saving just as much as anybody else. Anybody who's suffering with sin, whatever kind of sin it is not too far out of the reach of God. We might not like that, we might not want to sit and drink or have cups of tea with certain people, but we've got to get over that, because we've got to win them for the Lord. And if we can't win them, where are they going to go? Where are they going to go? There shouldn't be any person in this place that we ain't trying to win. Kaka, leave him where he's at. That, do you know that would be wrong? That would be as the sins of Eli. That would be as the sins of the son. Yeah, but that's all they're there for. We represent God in this fallen world. We are the light of the world that shows the light to come. Come worship the Lord. And why this sin was so big, because they caused people not to want to serve the Lord. I don't want to go there. I don't want to worship the Lord. I don't want to do it. And brothers and sisters, there can't be a time when a brother or sister is frightened to come to church because of you. Cannot be a time. There cannot be a time when someone don't want to come to church because you're here. I understand if you're a brand new Christian and you've got a family, a past little bit that's a little bit rough, and you may be here, you've been here a year or been here or two. When you've been a Christian for 10 years and people still won't come because of your testimony, I'm telling you, you need to grow up. You need to know and understand that you represent Christ to this fallen world.
Amen.
And the sins of Eli, the sins of their sons, the sins that was going on here, people did not want to worship the Lord because of their testimony. Do you know a testimony is a great thing? It's a powerful thing. A testimony is such a great and wonderful thing. That's why we have to have testimonies. That's why not just like our sister Mary got up and shared what our God had changed her. But the not just the words that come out of her mouth, but the living testimony that people can go there at any point and know that for any one of us, that they're going to speak to us and we're going to tell them about the Lord, or we're going to give them an answer, and we're going to be Christians, we're going to be godly. That's the importance of our testimony. These people's testimony stunk. It was so horrible that the people did not want to worship the Lord because how rotten these men were. And these were the ones that were supposed to be the holy priesthood. It starts off by saying, now the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. They did not know him. Did not know him. Didn't have any clue who he was. They understood all the... Later on you'll see how they went and got the Ark of the Covenant. They understood all the holy things. They understood that there was a God. They understood all the ceremonies. They knew that that was what was at to happen. Do you know what they was interested in? They was interested in the things of God and not God. What it brought them. Do you know, sometimes people can come to church because we're good, clean, living people. We want to bring our children up here, bring our families up here. Because we know that we're not argumentative, or we shouldn't be. And the people want to do that. They want the things of God, but they don't want God. And we find that as a struggle. Sometimes Christians want the things of God, but they don't want God. They want the peace that God brings, but they don't want God himself. And we need to be people that seek after the Lord, not seek after the things of the Lord, not positions, not because you want to, I don't know, just come to church to sing songs because you like it, or come here and have a chat with somebody because, you know, there's a good crowd here. That's not it. We're here because of God. We're here because we want God. The sins of these men, they knew the things of God. They knew all about God. They knew everything about him, if you like. But they did not know him personally. And brothers and sisters, there is a problem. When people don't know God personally, there is an issue. And the issue is that God wants us to know him. How do we get to know him? Well, we get to know him through his word, through prayer and through fellowship, through testimony, through one another. The Lord has done this. The Lord has been gracious to me. But we get to know the Lord by understanding his word. And these men just was interested in what it brought them, what they got out of it. Later on, God's going to judge them
and it's not going to be good. We see, when we're going to read on in verse 18, we see the changing of a time now. This is the book of Samuel changes. It's where we had the line of priests that's come from Aaron, which was in the, when they was in the wilderness, and it goes all the way through, it goes to Eli. And because Eli never sorted his boys out, God ended it. Done. And a time come where God done away with, if you like, the times of the priests, and he brought the times of the prophets. That's why you have Samuel and you have all them, you have all the prophets that come after. It changed. And the reason why it changed, verse 12, what we've just read, now the sons of Eli were corrupt and they did not know the Lord. Put that to one side. Verse 18, there's this young little boy, but Samuel ministered. He ministered before the Lord, even as a child. Do you know what that meant? That meant Samuel knew the Lord, even as a young boy. Even as a child, he ministered before the Lord. He worshipped the Lord. And there was a major difference. These men, it was robbing people. And the reason why they did it, they didn't know the Lord. And you know something? When you watch these televangelists that are robbing people, they don't know the Lord. They don't. If they knew the Lord, they'd be consumed with God's love and God's mercy and God's kindness. But here we have this boy. He ministered before the Lord. Do you know something? I wonder what he was doing. It doesn't really say what he was doing. It doesn't say how he did it. It just say that he ministered before the Lord. It didn't say what he actually did. Maybe he was just worshipping. Maybe he was just praying. Maybe he was just there. Maybe he was reading scripture. I don't know. But I wonder if God quotes that about us. He just ministered before the Lord. He just took him from the Lord, or he just worshipped the Lord. It says he was wearing a linen ephod. That means it was just like an outer garment. It was just like a one long slip, if you like. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now, the picture here is that the brothers covered it before, as she would give her son to the service of the Lord. Now, probably when he was about, who preached last week? How old did you have Samuel? About 3?
Yeah, about 3 years old.
It was about 3 years old when his mum gave him to if you like Eli to serve in the temple, to serve there. It wasn't temple, it was tabernacle. And that was her prayer. That was the prayer, Lord, if you give me a son, I will give him to you. That was her prayer. God was faithful to her. She was faithful to the Lord. And I want to just pick this up here. The man of God called Eli. The man of God called Eli. Never raised godly sons. Never done it. Yet Hannah had a son out of a promise. Lord, if you give him to me, I'll give him to you. Prayed earnestly. And the Lord give her what her prayers was, give her the answer to her prayer, and she offered him to the Lord. Exactly what she said she would do. It was done for a reason. Samuel was going to be arguably one of the greatest prophets there ever lived. And he was a man that God had called to do this job. But he had to have him as a young age. The Lord wanted him. And it said that his mother would come there yearly and she would make him a little tunic or this robe, and she would give it to him every year. Every year as he would grow. And she would come to the temple, she'd go there and see her son. But she would make provision and give him a robe every year. And as he would grow up, he would wait upon that. His mother would return and give that. It must have been hard for that woman. But she was faithful in what she had said. The answer to God's prayer. Or the answer to prayer. And I say this. When God answers their prayer, we have to be faithful with the conditions that we've asked him. Lord, if you do this, Lord, if you've given me this, Lord, I'm going to serve you the rest of my life. Be faithful to that. Because Anna was. Anna was faithful to that, wasn't she? Lord, if you just do this for me, Lord, I'd serve you the rest of my life. Oh, Lord, I'll do this. Anna prayed that prayer and was faithful to it. Have you prayed that prayer? Be faithful to it. We can. And this is what she did. He says that she came up with her husband and offered a yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Anna and his wife. Sorry. Can't even pronounce his name.
Elkanah.
And his wife. And say, the Lord give you a descendant from this woman for the Lord. Sorry. For the land that was given to the Lord. Then they would go their own way. And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bore 3 sons and 2 daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord. Here we have this picture that Anna never had no children. And then after she's been faithful in what she's given up, she said, look, my son's going to serve the Lord. And then the Lord blessed her and gave her 5 other more children. Now she had 3 other sons. And the Lord blessed her in that. And the Lord was, not just the Lord answered her prayer, the Lord gave her more than what she really asked for. The Lord gave her more than what she asked for. But she was faithful to that first prayer. Lord, if you give me, I will be faithful. I will give my son over. I don't know how I could pray that prayer and do that. But I tell you what I do want to do. I want to say, Lord, and I've prayed this prayer many times throughout my Christianity, even when my children was young, and even beforehand. I would say, Lord, if you're going to give me children, Lord, then let them be saved. I do not want to live my life in glory or save the rest of the world and let my children don't go there, don't go to heaven. And Lord, I'm not interested in that. Lord, save my children. Lord, do a work, but save my children. And surely that's the prayer of every born-again believer, anybody that is truly saved. That's their prayer, isn't it? That's what we should be praying for. Save their children, Lord. Raise their children, but save their children. But this woman was a godly woman, and she raised her son from year 1 to 3. She raised him to be a godly child, and then give him over to the service of the Lord. Where Eli didn't. Eli was the man of God that had ungodly children. Where Anna did something different. She prayed and desired something and give over to the Lord. Lord, let him serve you, Lord. Let him be for you. I want to tell every born again believer, every Christian here, every grandparent here, you have a responsibility to raise godly children in a fallen world. You will teach your sons how to go to work. 100%. Yes, true. Teach children how to go to work. Knock a door, earn a living. You would teach them how to be sensible, how to have a deal, not to be a fool, how to conduct themselves around people. You would teach all your children this. But have you once sat down and taught them how to pray? Shame on you. Shame on me. Do we understand? Does that convict anybody in here? Anna did. Anna did what was right. Eli didn't. The high priest, or the priest, he didn't. There's something to learn here, brothers and sisters. There's a lesson here. Your children, God doesn't have grandchildren. He only has children. Doesn't have grandchildren. Your children, God has given them to you to raise in a godly manner. You know, if you dedicate your child to the Lord, or we pray for the child, we pray for the parents, don't we? That the parents would raise them up in a godly manner, in a godly way. Are you raising your children up in a godly way? We need to understand that life isn't about things. Our children need to understand life isn't about things, but life is about God. It's about, listen, this is the one that you're going to run to. This is the one that you're going to serve. Teach your children. Read the scripture to your children. Teach them the things of the Lord. We have that responsibility. Hannah did. Her child was, before he was 3 years old, as a young child, he ministered before the Lord. What a privilege that must have been to be Hannah and to see her son. Young children serving the Lord. And I want to tell you something. As parents, whether you don't think your children's too far gone, as parents, you do have a duty and a responsibility. You can put into them what's right and what's wrong, but you can teach them the things of the Lord. You can say, no, we don't do that because that's not of the Lord. We don't say them things because that's not of the Lord. We don't talk about them people behind their back because that's not of the Lord. We raise them in a godly manner. To use grandparents, do you know, I like the understanding that even in the Jewish custom, it wasn't grandchildren, it wasn't grandparents in a sense, they were still parents. Grandchildren means you're still a parent, that's what that means. Not, oh, give them back, let somebody else look at our room. You've got grandchildren, raise them in a godly manner. The mothers and fathers might not agree, but as for you, you teach them what's right and what's wrong according to the things of the Lord. There's a big lesson, and I don't want to go on much longer. I can go on more because of Eli and the next part. But there's a big lesson to learn in these parts here. Eli never raised godly children. He just taught them all the customs. And I find that when people are brought up in religion, they don't want to know God. They just want to know the customs. Just go, if you like, as long as you go to Mass. You don't need to know the Lord, just go to Mass. Or go to whatever, all them other religions, what's out there. They don't teach them to know God, they teach them the religious traditions. Well, we have to teach our children about God, like Hannah did. Do you know the Bible says, and I was talking to Shane about this earlier on today, do you know in Timothy, it says before anybody can be an elder and overseer, it says he must be able to manage his own household well before he can manage the house of God. He must be able to manage his own household well. Do you know what that means? That God sees it as that I put, before I can be in ministry, that I be a good husband and a good father before I can be a good preacher. Not God first. Not serve the Lord first and then be a good husband and then be a good father. God doesn't see it that way. God says you have a duty of care. Go and be a good husband and go and be a good father. Then you can be a pastor. Other than that, it don't work. So brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that our duty, our job as Christians is to teach our young children. To raise them up. Do you know something? If you've got a young child that's living in your house or living at your own, under your roof, and you're saying things, I can't do nothing with them. I bet your mother could. I bet your grandparents could. You never brought up in that. You weren't brought up like that at all. Daresn't say a word out of line because your parents or your grandparents would pull you by the scruff of the neck. Remember, my granny got hold of one of the boys on the site where we lived, swore at her. My granny, swore at my granny. She grabbed him by the top of his head, put him into the chalet that they had, put soap in his mouth and washed his mouth out, and then took him to his mother. True story? That really did happen? To say to that generation, can't do nothing with them, that would be a lie. Do you know something? We're lazy. Say that you can't do something with a child. Do you know what that means? You're lazy. You can't be bothered. Oh yeah, it's a fight. It's a fight. But you as parents have got to have that fight. For those who haven't got children here, who are waiting. Listen, raise them up in a godly manner. Raise them up in a godly way. When you get children, raise them up because the Lord's given them. Raise them up. If you know something, any cough, cold, sickness, or any time they're in hospital, who are you going to ask to help? You're going to ask the Lord. Let the child know who the Lord is. This world, if you don't teach your children right from wrong, this world will. If you don't fill them with godliness, this world will fill them with ungodliness. Your children today are being educated in schools that think God is a curse word. That's the truth. That God, yeah, is more or less non-existent. And everything that God has set out in the Bible is for a bygone era or a past time. But what they don't understand is that everything that the Bible has predicted and prophesied is coming true and has come true. And is going to come true. We need to teach our children that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And he's going to take the godly ones out of this wicked world. And he's going to take them to a place that he's prepared for us. Let your children have that hope. It's a sad thing today when we see young people that are living in a world with no hope. And because they've got no hope, they think it's easy or think that they can take their own life. We have a duty of care and to tell them that Jesus loves them. And there's a better life, and now they're serving.